Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 41st verse. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A few weeks ago, in our chapel addresses, I mentioned to you that there was a woman in Washington State who had had acid thrown in her face, and in the following report, she had said that as a Christian, she hoped someday to be able to speak forgiveness to her assailant. Well, this week, she has now admitted that the acid in her face was self-inflicted. She did it to herself. We're still waiting to find out why. Possibly for attention. Suddenly something that seemed to be a situation where she could demonstrate her Christian faith and such a wonderful virtuous forgiveness may end up sending the opposite message and giving Christianity a black eye. The woman in the text before us, however, this poor widow, as our Lord refers to her, in her very humble state, is plucked by our Lord himself out of all humanity and all of the hustle and bustle going on in the temple grounds that day. And she is placed above us on a pedestal through the words of Scripture. Two of the gospel accounts record this story. And she is placed before us up with all of the great saints, with Moses and St. Paul and the Virgin Mary, for us to recognize, learn from, and to admire the faith that God had given her. One commentator says this about her little donation. In heaven, her infinitesimal donation was recorded in figures of gold. It's a great way to put it. The setting of this account that we have before us is interesting, and it tends to highlight the very point that our Lord wants us to learn from her life. This takes place in the temple courts in Jerusalem. Jesus had been there teaching and instructing people. And while this was going on, he was also noticing, and the people were noticing, that there were many teachers of the law who were kind of strutting their stuff religiously. They were very pridefully walking around and saying prayers out loud so that people would see them and notice them and so on. And Jesus had just drawn attention to the fact that they were doing so much of this for show. And now here is this humble woman in the crowd who puts in this tiny little offering. And there's no display of pride on her part, no audaciousness to it. There's no apparent desire to get attention for this. It's going completely under the radar of everybody else who's there. All the people are probably focusing on the big gifts that are being thrown in and paying attention to that, just like maybe we like to do about things in the church sometimes. And yet here is this humble woman putting in such a tiny and yet at the same time such an enormous gift. This, first of all, highlights a flaw in me, and I would assume in you as well, and that is that we're pretty impressed by extravagance. We're so impressed by the outward thing. When we hear of huge donations that are made to something, boy, that really gets our attention and so on. But we must always remember that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what this story is truly about. You see, it's not the size of the gift that catches the eye of Christ, but it's rather the condition of the heart that brings the gift. This story is not primarily about stewardship. It has something to say about it, yes, but it's primarily a lesson about faith. We're told that this woman gave all that she had. Think of what a statement that was about her faith and trust in God's promises. St. Ambrose says this, It is not the amount contributed which the Lord observes, but how much there is left over. How much is left over? That's really the indication of faith. The stinginess in me, when it comes to giving to the Lord, is really ultimately traced back to a lack of faith. It's not only, my stinginess is not only in me because I have a love for money and greed and so on, but it's also rooted in my distrust of God's promises to me. As Christians, we want to give to the Lord's work. We know we should. We know the benefits of that giving. We know that the church uses this to spread the gospel. What other greater thing there could there be? And inside of Christians, there is a desire to want to do this. So why don't we? Well, it may be our greed for our own money, but quite often, it's worry. It's worry that God really can't take care of us the way he promises if I give generously the way he asks me to. And worry is the exact opposite end of the spectrum from faith. Whenever I hear this lesson about this woman, I am greatly in admiration of her, but she is a powerful law message to me. Because she exposes in me how I drag my feet when it comes to just giving one-tenth maybe of what I could to the Lord. And yet, this woman is willing to give all cheerfully in faith. A few years ago, I was over in Ukraine staying with a host family from one of the churches, a church I was serving, and a very poor family. Their house was probably, the total living space wasn't much larger than my garage. And they took me one day to a marketplace, and there was a woman standing in the marketplace holding this beat-up old photograph of a soldier. And I found out later she was a widow, an elderly woman, and they really have not much of a welfare system over there. And this young Christian woman that I was with, who probably has about one-tenth of my income, I would say, was willing to go up and give her a gift to help this woman. In my wallet that day, with my American money, I had what in their economy would probably have passed for $1,000. And yet I didn't even give it a thought as I walked by. The Lord loves to see faith in the hearts of his faithful that latches on to him and his word and his gracious promises. Jesus is just glowing with appreciation toward this humble woman, isn't he? And what's interesting is he connects her gift back to a heart of faith. And this is what God is always seeking for. This is what he's always looking for when it comes even to our gifts or anything about our lives. Cain and Abel both brought an offering to God, but the book of Hebrews tells us it was faith that was the distinguishing characteristic that caused the Lord to love and accept Abel's gift. Now, it'd be fun someday to meet this anonymous woman in heaven and to go up and talk to her and find out how her life went and how things went for her. My guess is that she had days when she didn't have this strong of faith. If hers is like ours, it goes up and down different days. And in heaven, we may discover that she had moments of tremendous weakness when it came to faith. You see, the true point of this account that our Lord is bringing before us is not merely her faith, but rather the object of her faith that faith latches onto, and that is the good and gracious promises of God that are found in Christ our Savior and in his saving work. We just sang that beautiful hymn together, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. Man, if only that was true, huh? If only that was true about me and about you, that we really love God with all our heart. When I sing that, it often reminds me how I don't. And we recognize in ourselves this weakness of faith. And yet we come before him seeking his grace with our weak hearts, seeking his mercy and forgiveness in the very Christ that we love. The perfect faith and trust that Christ possessed in his heavenly Father, God now has been so kind and gracious to credit that to you and me. And when you and I latch onto him, even with a weak and trembling faith that still has doubt mixed in with it, you then, connected to Christ by that weak faith, you then become, in the eyes of God, the perfect believer, the perfect keeper of the first commandment, that you love God above all things. Clinging to him, even with a trembling faith, you do possess the right to sing before God, "Lord, thee I love with all my heart." And so when we see these beautiful stories of faith like this presented before us in Scripture, may we say with the hymn writer, "Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste even here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home." Amen.